Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, listen, I got a little bell here. Let me ring it for you. You're going to start hearing a little bit more of this. We are trying to raise money, as we always do at Christmas time, between, say, Thanksgiving and the end of the year on WGN Radio for the Salvation Army. In fact, I even have Bob Coyne, one of our sales guys who works with the Army here, gave me a Salvation Army black and red and logoed face mask. So good for them and lucky me. I'll be wearing this and ringing the bell on the radio once in a while. Here's what we're doing at WGNradio.com on our webpage. You'll see an icon with producer Elif and myself, and you can click on there and make a donation on December 16th. That, I think, is a Wednesday. We're doing the big radiothon blowout where we will dedicate a couple of hours to telling great stories about the service the Salvation Army provides, and we'll really encourage you to give in and to call in and give to the Salvation Army. Look, the Army has service all year long, and once a year we ask you to make a donation. Well, this year, donations are predictably down, and the need is obviously the greatest it's ever been. So we really want to try and help the Army here in Chicago as much as we can. Somebody just sent me an email over the weekend. I read it when I got in this morning, saying, I can't give much, but I know what you're saying, and so here's my donation. And you can just do it online. I've got a virtual kettle there at WGNradio.com. And then on the 16th, it's going to be kind of fun this year. What we're going to do is when you make a donation of $100 or more, the swag kicks in. You can get WGN Radio t-shirts and WGN Radio polar fleeces and coffee mugs, wine coolers, picnic baskets, all really well done, very nice stuff. In fact, there's a video about all of this at WGNradio.com, so you can check it out there. But just know that if you hold off and make your donation on the 16th, please do, one time or another, you kind of cash in with some nice prizes this year to kind of incentivize you and thank you. Speaking of the Salvation Army, one of the services they provide is at a program called Stop It. The program manager is Elise Dobney. She joined us last year, and it was such a compelling conversation. I thought we should ask her to join us again this year. Elise, you're back on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me back.
Tell us what you do. What is the Stop It program?
The Stop It program is the Salvation Army's local response to human trafficking. So we work with folks all across Northern Illinois who've experienced human trafficking to restore choice and build independence in their lives.
I think people are amazed sometimes when they find out the services the Army provides, right? Like coffee to firefighters when there's a fire in January and toys for kids and food. But you guys have a program to stop human trafficking, huh?
We do. And it's a very sometimes well-kept secret, but we're able to connect and provide support to lots of folks throughout our area who otherwise might not have support.
What does that mean? What is human trafficking?
So human trafficking is when someone is forced, tricked, or threatened to either engage in commercial sex or to perform some type of labor act.
What do we have? What is it mostly?
In our area, I think we see it in a couple different ways. We do see, unfortunately, quite a bit of sex trafficking. So that's when someone is forced, tricked, or threatened to engage in commercial sex. We also see, though, a lot of youth, anyone under the age of 18 is what we're talking about, who feel like they have no option but to trade sex for something to survive, a place to sleep, food to eat, things of those like basic necessities. And so in our state, that is considered human trafficking. So we see that quite a bit, but we also see labor trafficking. And I think in our area, that goes largely unidentified. So if you look at our statistics, we don't have a lot, but all the statistics report more sex trafficking. It's not because labor trafficking is not happening. It's just largely unidentified or underidentified.
How would that second scenario work? You live here on the farm and you work for us and you'll never make any money, but at least you'll have a place to stay, something like that?
Absolutely. We see that. We see people who come over to the U.S. and end up working at a restaurant or working in the hospitality industry, something like that, and end up owing a lot of money for their travel. And they somewhat fall into like this debt bondage situation where they're just accruing more and more debt and they won't be able to ever pay it off. And unfortunately, we're not very clear about the rights people have. No one can be required and coerced to work in one place until a debt is paid off. But in our country, we're not always explicit about explaining rights to people.
Sounds like indentured servitude, doesn't it? Something that
Absolutely.
Happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. In that case, or in the case of sex trafficking, who are the people that are doing this, taking advantage of these people? Can you give me the lay of the land there?
I mean, I think that's the incredible piece, is that anyone can be a trafficker. Anyone can be an exploiter. We have cases that tend to be a little bit more stereotypical, but we also have family members and more individuals who would be considered more upstanding citizens who also are doing the trafficking. And so I think, unfortunately, we can't give this cookie cutter definition of what a trafficker looks like, because then we miss all of the people who don't raise those red flags, if that makes sense.
I have it in my mind, though, that these are foreigners. That sounds so coarse, doesn't it? But these are people not of the United States who have come to this country, and now they're bringing other women into this country from their country of origin, and that's the trade. That's how it happens. Am I on to something there?
We do see that, absolutely. I think we also, in our program, see quite a few people born and raised in Northern Illinois who end up either being trafficked or doing the exploitation. So in our program right now, about 50% of program participants are U.S.-born, and folks are typically, if they're U.S.-born, are being trafficked by U.S. citizens as well.
Well, evidently there's a need. You're the program manager, but I don't hear a lot of cases where people are being caught and thrown in jail. What's the prosecution end like this?
Yeah, so we actually co-facilitate the Cook County Human Trafficking Task Force with the Cook County State's Attorney's Office and the U.S. Attorney's Office. And the point of that is to be strategic in how we collaborate in order to, in part, increase prosecution of traffickers. And so I think as part of that, our partners in the prosecutor's office are working really hard to build cases. But when you think about the definition, how hard is it to prove force, fraud, or coercion? Look at really complicated things to have enough evidence to prove.
Can you tell me, though, how often it happens? Like, were there 72 cases in Northern Illinois last year or something like that?
So in our program, we typically work with about 75 people a year, and that's just in our one program, and there are a lot of incredible anti-trafficking groups that we work with throughout the area. So, I mean, I think obviously numbers are a little bit scarce in an issue that's largely hidden, but we know that it is a pretty significant problem in Northern Illinois.
So what's your task? Is it to find these, I presume, mostly women and tell them to seek shelter, or are you sleuthing, trying to find the bad guys? What do you do?
No, we actually encourage the investigative side to be left to law enforcement and people who are trained to do that. Our goal is to really identify survivors and, again, restore choice in their lives. So they get to decide every part of what it looks like to participate in our program, including when they leave their exploiter, when they leave their trafficker, and then every nuanced detail of what their next steps are. If they're interested in shelter and what neighborhood shelter they would be most comfortable in. If they want to start some job training program, what that would look like. If they want to go back to school, what area would they like to study? We really want people to be able to dictate every part of their lives and not just have another person controlling, right? Mm-hmm. Our intentions are a lot better than the traffickers, but we don't want to just replicate what the trafficker did with that control aspect.
It's a really interesting point. At what cost? I mean, do these people pay for this service? How does that go?
No, our program is completely free to all of our participants. We are federally funded and then also get some support, obviously, through the Salvation Army. And so I think that's, I'm really grateful for this time to speak with you because the need has not gone anywhere. I know during COVID things have been very chaotic and we might not have been talking as much about human trafficking, but the reality is the issue hasn't gone away. And if anything, the need has grown since COVID because we have people who maybe were relatively stable, ready to have their cases closed with us, but now because of everything that's going on, all of that stability, it's like the rug was pulled out from under them, right? And so people who were ready to close now need a lot more support. So we just see the need, if anything, increasing during COVID. the unfortunate reality of our current circumstances, right?
Yeah. COVID is an accelerant for sort of a catalyst for everything that is wrong in society, it seems, these days. And I suppose it would exacerbate this situation, too. I wonder, though, so suppose I am suspicious of some scenario. Do I call 911? Do I call you guys? What's the first step for a witness?
Yeah, so if you see something, if someone sees something that really seems like an emergency, it needs an immediate response, obviously 911 is absolutely the answer. But if you notice something that's just suspicious and rubbing you the wrong way and you feel like you're not quite sure what's going on, we would be happy to receive those calls. Our 24-hour hotline number is 877-606-3158. And we're happy to provide any support if anyone notices something suspicious.
What would that look like, by the way? I mean, it might look like the relationship a prostitute has with a John, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime we see anyone who's engaged in prostitution, especially if they look young, that's an automatic alarm. But I think we've had situations where community members noticed there was a restaurant where everyone who worked at the restaurant was arriving in one vehicle. In a big van, and then they would all leave together at the same time. You know, things like that, that typically, I don't know about you, but my office doesn't provide this ride share thing where everyone comes together and everyone leaves together. So that was pretty suspicious for this one community member. We have people who notice a massage parlor that's open late at night and notice that people aren't really going in until after evening hours. That's suspicious. And so I think anything that just doesn't seem logical, right? Massage parlors, typically the legitimate ones where people are getting actual massage from massage therapists, are open traditionally during business hours, some evening hours, but just paying attention to some of those indicators.
Right. I would imagine the whole migrant farm worker thing would be ripe for this sort of abuse.
It absolutely is. Unfortunately, traffickers really use our temporary work visa system to exploit people. So I think there's this really common misconception that foreign-born individuals who are trafficked in the U.S. are only trafficked if they're undocumented. And while that does happen, we also see many people who come over on temporary work visas, and that situation can really be exploited and manipulated as well.
Hey, Missy, you're on WGN Radio. What was your question or comment? Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to say a couple of quick things about trafficking. There's a current case in Aurora right now. It was in the news a couple of weeks ago, I believe based upon the arrests. And the people who were trafficked were younger and they were foreign-born. And they were brought up here with promises and then ultimately trafficked. Also, I used to work for DCFS. I'm retired. And your guest spoke of vulnerable populations, and those are often young people, and those are American born and put out or forced to leave at a young age with no place to go. It can be just a really horrible thing, and this is a great program, and I'm grateful that you're promoting it.
Yeah, this is wonderful. Elisa, what's your comment to that?
Yeah, I mean, I thank you so much for bringing those scenarios up. Those are very accurate scenarios. I think especially when you're referencing foreign-born victims and survivors of trafficking, part of our goal is to make sure folks are connected to immigration attorneys who provide free services as quickly as possible so that they can receive some protection and guidance through a really complicated legal process.
Boy, it just makes you, at least thank you for the phone call, or to the woman that just called, Missy, thank you for the call. Boy, it just does make you... It's hard to fathom the sort of people that would traffic, and for that matter, that would be the customers of these people, right? Either on the sex side or, you know, taking advantage of somebody as a laborer. I guess those folks are out there, but it's hard to imagine that that kind of thing would exist.
It absolutely is.
Okay, so we're raising money for the Salvation Army. I know that you guys have federal funds, but the Army also supports your program, and it's called Stop It. It is the Salvation Army program to end this kind of human trafficking. Elisa, anything else that our audience should know or do before I let you go today?
Yeah, if you're interested, you can feel free to check out our website. It's just www.sa-stopit.org.
SA as in Salvation Army, SA-stopit.org?
Yep.
Okay. We'll put a link to that, too, with this conversation. And keep doing what you're doing, Elise. We're happy to ring the bell for the Salvation Army, and thanks for joining us again this year.
Thank you so much. Take care.